My truth is that I'm always going to love a forbidden romance trope, and you guys know I love a spicy read, but what if the forbidden romance was also a cowboy romance? A hot, steamy, former pro bull rider with an employee that's slowly falling in love with him. If you're a fan of contemporary cowboy romances by authors like Bailey Hanna, Lila Sage, Elsie Silver, or Paisley Hope, you will absolutely love Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose, which is a part of the Crimson Ridge series. Each book in the series reads as a standalone, but they all take place in the same remote small town, and they're all, of course, very spicy. Taming of the Heart is super spicy. It has very explicit sexual imagery and language throughout, which obviously is exactly what I signed up for. And it basically just drops you right into what it would be like to be hired by a ranch for the summer, except your boss is unreasonably hot. Literally looks like every fantasy and daydream you've ever had come to life. Oh, and he's already accidentally seen your favorite toy. Okay. You're the eldest daughter. You lock your heart away safely out of sight, but then boom, a former pro bull rider, much older than you, with a mustache, might I add, that makes you weak of the knees, shows up. He's the whole package. And he's luring you in with glimpses of what it might be like to let your guard down for the first time in your entire life. I know you guys are going to love it. I've been sucked in from the moment I picked it up. You can find Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose wherever books are sold, in print and in ebook. And you can learn more by checking out Kensington Publishing at kensingtonbooks.com.
And I think it's fine to have empathy for those people and to acknowledge that it comes from like a very, vulnerable and hurt space within themselves. It's okay to have understanding for people and to also draw that line and be like, and you're not going to speak to me like that or treat me like that. So I have to walk away from this friendship. I can't, for the sake of myself, remain friends with someone who has made me feel this way. What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly slumber party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, who's very enthusiastic today. And also, I'm feeling a little nosy on behalf of myself and my own personal data, and also other people as well. I am in dire need of those Spotify Wrapped releases, okay? I need all of you to get on your Instagram stories and post the artists and songs that you've been listening to. I want to know how many fucked up minutes you spent listening to music this year. What are you avoiding? Okay, are you drowning out those inner thoughts a little too much? I need to know how many minutes you've been listening to music this year. I don't know what the like appropriate number of minutes to listen to music is. I don't know what the appropriate number of minutes to show when your Spotify Wrapped is. What I do know is if I ever said a number out loud and they somehow started to come up with ways to recap how many hours you've spent watching YouTube videos and movies, I'd be well fucking over it. So I can't fucking talk. And I'm anti-bullying people for their Spotify Wraps unless their top artist is someone like Chris fucking Brown in the year 2024. And then I say we bully extra hard. Like, famously, I am sometimes pro-bullying. So just know I'm not above it. And if Chris Brown is in your top artists, I am super side-eyeing you. But I was trying to think, like, who do I think my top artists and songs of this year are going to be? I'm trying to predict what my data is going to be. Dude, I just fucking love data. Like, give me a pie chart. Give me a spreadsheet. Show me what the numbers are. I just want to fucking know. Oh my God. Letterboxd should do something like this. I guess they sort of already do. If you get a pro account or a patron account, you have access to stats. I, of course, have a pro account and I plan on upgrading to patron once my year is up, which I think is in like 2 weeks. So I have access to those stats year round, but I wonder if like there's even more stats you could tell me. Like, there's some of the stats in there that I'm like, okay, this is fun. I like seeing what like the 50th, 100th, 150th movie that I watched that year was. I like seeing how many movies per month I watch, how it, you know, goes up and down throughout the year on like a graph format. percentage of movies I watched that were new releases versus old, first watches versus rewatches. Like, I love all of it. And also, I think there's more data that we could do that's like really, really extra fun for people like me. And, you know, I wonder how much of the population loves this as much as I do. I feel that perhaps in my own community, I'm on an island. I feel like perhaps I am more data driven and type A than most people I know. But someday I'm going to find my other data driven folks out there. So let's do some predictions, because I just want to see if I can get it right. Like, how well do I know myself and my own media consumption habits? I know without a shadow of a doubt that my top song this year is Von Dutch. It just can't be anything else. I know I listened to Von Dutch a diabolical number of times. For that reason, Charlie is absolutely going to be my most listened to artist of the year. Top Charlie Von Dutch, 100%. No questions in my mind. Locked the fuck in. In fact, I think it's possible that I could have multiple Charlie songs in my top five. I think the Guess remix, it's possible. I think the Von Dutch remix, it's possible. 365, it's possible. We've got plenty of possibilities there in terms of Charlie. I think Lunch by Billy could be in my top five. And then past that point is where it starts to get a little, maybe Uncle Ace by Blood Orange, because I really was in my Challengers era this year. And then, you know what? Fuck. I think Cowboy Gangster Politician is probably going to be in my top five again, ? I feel like I've been listening to that song on repeat for so long at this point. But I extra listened to it a lot in February. So, Cowboy Gangster Politician, you know, that's good. That's good to think about the eras of our emotional life that we were in and what songs we leaned on in those emotional times. When I was feeling a little bit of heartache in February, Cowboy Gangster Politician was crazy on rotation, like crazy. So Cowboy Gangster Politician, Von Dutch, Guess Remix, Lunch. And then, like, maybe it's Uncle Ace. Maybe those are my five. Yeah? I would feel good about that, I think. There's other possibilities. I understand what songs are going to be high up there. And you know what would be so fucked up? Because I'm pretty sure the Spotify Wrapped, data sucking dates. And there was definitely a better way for me to say that. But I'm pretty sure the term ends on October 31st. And Disease by Gaga came out like a week before. And I did listen to it a diabolical amount of times in the span of that week. I don't think that it could enter my top five in the span of a week. That would be crazy. But like, I did listen to it a diabolical number of times. Like, the first 4 days the Disease was out, I quite literally did not listen to a single other song. And that is not me exaggerating. That is me telling you with complete confirmation that I had the repeat plus one selected on my Spotify for several days. And once the song ended, it would start right back up again. And I like did things. I like ran errands. I was like, I 30 minute commute to the Alamo Draft House, listened to Disease the whole way through. 30 minute commute back, listened to Disease the whole way through. I cleaned my entire apartment over the course of 4 hours, listened to Disease the entire time. So I can't say really how many times I listened to that song in the span of that week. It's not out of the question that it could be in my most listened to songs. I'm not going to predict that though, because that feels crazy. I do think that Gaga will be in my top artists this year. Gaga is usually my number one artist. Last year was the first year that she wasn't. And it was because there were so many releases last year that I was fixated on. My top artists were like Charlie, Renee Rapp, Chapel Roan, Hemlock Springs, and someone else that I'm forgetting. I'm so sorry to whoever you are. I don't remember. But all of those people had like releases last year that I was very into. So it made sense. This year, Charlie was really the only release that I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to listen to this on fucking repeat. There was no other albums besides Brat that I was like living, breathing, and dying for, really. So I think Gaga will be back in my top five artists. Charlie, Gaga, and then I think that it could be Carol Addis, who I realized I've been saying her last name wrong this whole time. But in my defense, I had never heard it said out loud. But you know what? I do hate that because I hate when people mispronounce my last name. So I am issuing a formal retraction for all the times I pronounced her name Carol Addis instead of Carol Addis. I will now pronounce it Carol Addis. I have learned. I know better now. That is fucking annoying. I'm mad that I did that. I think it's possible that Carol Addis could be in my top five because I've listened to her album quite a bit. And then maybe it's like Billie Eilish and maybe The Beaches. I've listened to a lot of The Beaches. Yeah, maybe. Would it be crazy if it was Addison Rae? And you know what? I would just like to say, I would just like to loop back to the episode that I did over a year ago now where I was defending the hell out of Addison Rae. And I was like, you guys just don't see the fucking vision. Addison Rae is going to be a mega star. And everyone was in the comments like, shut the fuck up. And who's laughing now, you motherfuckers? I said that before the Von Dutch remix came out. I said that when it was just her fuck ass EP that everyone shit on. I knew. I saw the vision, okay? Never doubt my taste. Never doubt it. I am plugged the fuck in. I know what the fuck is cool. You can be a hater all you want. You can be a hater towards Miss Addison Rae all you want, but she is it. And she proved that this year. It was the year of Addison Rae, and I told you guys it was gonna be. It's possible that Addison Rae could be in my top five. That would be so funny if it was true. But I'm gonna lock in, and I'm gonna predict my top five as being Charlie, Lady Gaga, Billie Eilish, Carol Addis, and The Beaches. Boom. Locking it in. We'll see how right I am about those predictions for songs and artists. It would be crazy if I got it exactly right. I don't feel like I did, but it would be crazy. But I need us to enter the era of year-wrapped data and also awards. I'm ready for awards season. Let's fucking go. I need them to release the Oscar nominees like I need air inside my lungs, okay? I need to know the nominees for Best Picture so fucking badly. I've watched a lot of movies this year. I've watched, I think, like 75 new releases. So I'm thinking that there's a high likelihood that I will have already seen most of the nominees. I fear that Dune 2 is going to be on that list, in which case I will have to watch Dune and Dune 2 because I never went to see Dune 2 because I'd never seen Dune 1. And to be honest, those movies just don't seem like they're going to be my thing. But if it's nominated, I will watch it. That's such a long movie to try to watch in my fucking apartment. I'm going to need Alamo or some movie theater in New York to just show the Dune movies again so that I can go sit and watch it in a theater because it is so hard to watch movies that dense at home. Like I can't do that here. At home, I'm watching 90-minute dramas, you know, like we keep it quick at home. I'm not indulging in a 3-hour movie at my house. I've never seen Titanic, and I genuinely don't know if I ever will, because that movie is so long. It is so long. When am I ever in the headspace to watch a movie that fucking long? Like, just split it into two movies. If you can't tell the story in, like, 90 to 120 minutes maximum 120, if you can't do it within 2 hours, I feel that it should be two movies. I think that's my take, and I don't feel bad about that. I don't feel bad about having that date. I think movies should be 90 minutes to 120, and if they're not, break it up, because now I'm never going to watch Titanic. Like, now it's going to take such a specific circumstance for me to watch Titanic. I want to watch Titanic. I would love to watch Titanic. When the fuck am I going to be in the brain space to watch Titanic? In order to watch Titanic, I need Alamo Drafthouse to show it in person or I need like a bunch of my friends to be enthusiastic about watching Titanic. Because if there were a bunch of people that were here in my house, like, dude, that'll be fucking awesome if we watched Titanic and had a Titanic party and we could like turn it into a thing, then I can lock in. You know, I need the enthusiasm, or I need it to be in a traditional movie theater setting. If I'm just watching Titanic at home by myself, I'm going to be like, oh, dear God. So much to think about. So much to, I don't know, rattle through inside my brain. I can't focus on those conditions. And that is also how I feel about Dune. But like, if somebody wanted to throw like a worm themed party, the Dune worm, whatever the fuck it's called. I've never seen the movies. I don't know what it is. But that worm, that little worm bitch, whoever the hell. If somebody wanted to throw a worm themed party where we watched both of the Dune movies while dressed as worms and sharing little treats about worms, like those little like worm in the mud treats that they made when you were a kid, we could make that. We could do little worm drinks. Somebody could do the worm. We could all dress as worms and we can watch Dune. Like, I know nothing about Dune. That is my assessment of what a good Dune themed party would be. So that I could get behind that too. You know what I mean? Like, I just need it to be a bit. I just need it to be like a thing that we're all excited about, or we need to just go to the movie theater and watch like civilized folks, you know? But I'm assuming that I'm gonna have to at some point watch Dune. But before the Oscars, if it gets nominated for Best Picture. If it doesn't get nominated, guess who's not watching Dune? If it doesn't get nominated, guess who will not be watching Dune? Oh my God. But my friends were giggling at my expense, because I admitted to them that I have already drafted up the partyful invitation for my Oscars watch party. Again, Oscar noms have not been announced. I'm pretty sure they announced the date that the Oscars will be, and I committed it to memory. So I already know what day it's going to happen, and I said that I wanted to throw an Oscars party. And I just get so, like, sucked into these things. Like, an idea can't just, like, sit in my head. I had to do something about it. And so I already drafted up the invitation and, like, made the whole thing. And what we're going to do at my Oscars party, I'm telling you now, in November. The Oscars are in March. in March, when the Oscars happen, everyone's gonna come over and we're gonna have like a ballot box. I might have people vote in advance, so that I'll already have everything taken care of by the time people come. But we're gonna have like, yes, we're gonna watch the Oscars and we're gonna do like Oscar predictions for what we think the Academy is gonna do, for sure. Classic Oscar party vibes. But also, we're gonna have our own like people's Oscars, where everyone gets to vote for which movie and actors they would have wanted to win in each category, nominated or not. Like, what is your personal best picture of the year? Who is your personal best actress of the year? And then I will compile everyone's votes together and we'll see like who the true winner of the People's Oscars is. And I just think it's going to be so fun. But maybe I have to do that in advance. Like, maybe I send out a poll or form of some sort pre-party that everyone has to vote on in advance, so I already know who wins, so I can announce the winners and put them in little cards. Oh, that would be so fun. That would be so fun. We did it just like the Oscars. And I announced it. Like, once they announced Best Picture, I'm like, and now it's time to announce the People's Best Picture as well. Challengers. Like, I am going to have so much fun with this. It's not even funny. Oh my God. I just need it. I need it so badly. Like, I need air inside my lungs. But sometimes the type A in me really jumps out. And my friends are like, whoa, in your what drafts? Like, what do you mean? What do you mean you're drafting an event 5 months away? I'm like, sorry guys. Forget I said anything. If you guys are looking for fun, interesting, unique, dare I say uncommon gifts to gift your people this holiday season, be sure to check out Uncommon Goods. we are here in the holiday season. Black Friday is quickly approaching us, and Uncommon Goods is the best place to be able to get hand-picked, one-of-a-kind gifts for every single person on your list. I've bought many gifts from Uncommon Goods in the past, my favorite of which being a blanket that I got for my grandmother. There's so many great handmade gifts on Uncommon Goods that they can also personalize. So the gift that I got my grandmother was this weaved blanket that looks like a notebook on the front of it. And I wrote a little note for her that was then weaved onto the blanket. From holiday host and hostess gifts to gifts for a diehard sports fan. The coolest finds for kids, book lovers, everyone in between. I swear to you, Uncommon Goods has something for every person on your shopping list. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/emotionallyonline. That's uncommongoods.com/emotionallyonline for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we are all out of the ordinary. I have had such a fucking inspiring week this week. I just have been feeling like fired the fuck up for the last 7 days. And I feel inspired, I feel motivated, I feel directed. Like, I just feel like a lot of things have been clicking for me in my brain recently. And additionally, this has also been like a highly emotional, highly dramatic, heavily conflicted time in my life. Like, it just, there's been chaos. It has been complete and utter fucking chaos. I am emotionally hungover is what I said to my therapist this morning. Like, I just feel so dead in terms of what I can give to other people. However, I'm also feeling like lit up and inspired and like directed on what to do next and how to like change my circumstances to like help myself feel happier and more balanced and just, I don't know. I feel like in therapy, I'm like talking about all these things going on in my life right now. And then I'm also like, okay, but career wise, let's talk about that. And my therapist was like, you sound so happy. And I was like, oh, and I am, and I'm so excited. But I had a great conversation with my friend Kiana, who you guys might know, fellow YouTuber Kiana Naomi. She and I went and got coffee this past weekend, and she is just so brilliant and so smart. And sometimes you just come across these people in your life where you speak with them, connect with them, and you're like, hey, something crazy just happened. Like, within this one conversation with her, I just felt like she unlocked a part of my brain. She made a lot of things make sense for me and just like ignited some like true inspiration in me. I left my conversation with her being like, oh my God, I fucking owe her. Like, I owe Kiana right now, because yeah, she was just so wonderful and so helpful. And it is so nice being in community with other passionate, inspired, like hardworking women. And I just feel like so fucking refreshed. And God, how nice is that? How nice is that to have like a creative conversation with someone that leaves you feeling like rejuvenated and directed? I've literally been riding a high since that conversation, and it was like 5 or 6 days ago at this point. But with these high highs comes several low lows. So you know what? This is why I say I'm emotionally hungover, because while I'm like, oh my God, yeah, this is great, that's great, there's also like so much going on. Obviously, last week's episode, we chatted, we got into it, we went ham, we did. And I mentioned how there was, you know, the cutting off of a family member that has occurred. So as you can imagine, things are happening in my personal life, and that's tough. High highs, low lows. Nothing is ever so clean cut or easy. So that's been sort of like a whole other beast in and of itself. And to top it all off, my foster kitten, who I haven't even gotten to introduce to you guys because she literally just got here, Macarena, who I've been calling Weena, It went from Macarena to Reina to Miss Weena. So now she's Weena. But I've had her for a little over a week now, and she's already leaving me. For good reason, though. She's going to another foster, so that she can be reunited with her siblings. They were separated because they were all a little sicky, and they had to go through some dewormer. So they had to all be kept separate, and now they're all done with that and it's all fine. So she's going to go be reunited with one of her siblings, and then I'm getting two new foster kittens, literally in 30 minutes. So that's tough. I really love her. Like, I love all of my fosters, and I, you know, saying goodbye is always hard for each of them. 'Cause you just like, I don't know. It's hard not to get attached to them. You just sort of have to like really lean on the fact that this is a good thing. She's being reunited with her siblings. That's awesome. That's so exciting. I want that for her. And also it's sad for me. But also it'll be so happy when she goes to her forever home and she finds her family. And like, these are all exciting things. So I just have to focus on that. But it's crazy. Within like the 7 days that she's been here, I just feel like I've gotten so attached to her. Let's go ahead and do some audience submissions, baby. I filmed this part of the episode 2 weeks ago. This was the episode that I shot on election day, but then obviously didn't post for reasons we've already discussed. But I wanted to still use the audience submission portion of the episode. We talked a lot about friendship breakups. These submissions were really great, really vulnerable, and yeah, I have so much to say about friendship breakups. So without further ado, let's jump into these submissions. Hi, Maddie. You and I have something in common. We both are absolutely obsessed with our friends. My friends make my world go round, and anyone that knows me knows that there's nothing I wouldn't do for my friends. I've recently had a devastating friend breakup. This was with someone I referred to as one of my closest friends. I feel like when someone has a romantic breakup, everyone seems to understand and be sympathetic, but with a friend breakup, it seems like no one knows what to say or how to respond, and yet it's on my mind all the time. Have you ever been through a horrible friend breakup? Why do you think that people don't seem to take it seriously? Of course, I have been through my fair share of friend breakups, some that I have initiated, some that other people have initiated, some that had a more definitive ending, whether it was a conversation or event that really ushered in the end of the end. And I've had other friendships that sort of just faded away slowly, perhaps more mutually, but that doesn't make it less painful or stressful. Even when you may be the one that wants the ending, it is still hard to lose a friend. Like, even in the friendships that I issued in the end of, it didn't mean that I was like free of any emotional turmoil or back and forth on the decision that I ultimately ended up making. I don't know that, I mean, at least for me, I never want a friendship to end, right? Like, I feel like I go into all of my friendships hoping that it'll be a forever thing. And the truth is just that a lot of friendships are not meant to be forever things. You change, you fall out of touch, you fall out of rhythm with people, and sometimes people are just fucking bad friends, and there's something that requires a more like hard and fast reaction. But I can honestly say that in all of my friendships that have ended, I tried my hardest to solve things, to get to a better place, and to work through my own frustrations with the friendship before deciding to end it. Just because you're the one that ends it doesn't make it easier in any way. And when you're on the receiving end of a friendship breakup, obviously that hurts as well. And sometimes it's mutual and it sucks then as well. It sort of just always sucks to lose a friend, no matter how you position it, how you swing it, what side you're on, how for or against you were the friendship ending. And you know, I've even had a friendship breakup that after a few years, we ended up rekindling and being friends again. And then we eventually fell out of contact and we're no longer friends anymore. So, you know, maybe we had it right the first time. Maybe we weren't meant to be friends. All of that to say, going through a friendship breakup can be incredibly heavy, incredibly hard to sit with. And I totally agree that it is made a little bit more difficult by the fact that sometimes friendship breakups are not seen as painful or as emotionally taxing as a romantic breakup. When someone you know goes through a romantic breakup, you know, usually if you're surrounded by good people, you know, they're eager to support you in that time because they know how tough it can be to go through a romantic breakup and to have to end things with someone that you were so intimate with. And I do wonder if the reason why people are so, you know, easily able to see why a romantic relationship ending would be hurtful versus a friendship is like the kinds of intimacy that people experience in their relationships. I think that, you know, a lot of us understand the level of intimacy that you experience with a romantic partner, but I think friendship intimacy levels sort of vary. And maybe some people find it hard to totally understand the level of intimacy you had with this friend. Maybe they themselves don't have very high level intimacy friendships, so it's less of a big deal to them. I also think that sometimes people are sort of like, well, you've got so many friends. It's not just this one friend. You've got 10 friends. And because we have, you know, more friends than we do romantic partners in our life, it's sort of like, you know, people just think that you can move on quicker. But often I find that in practice, that is, you know, super far from the truth, because everybody that we meet and love in our lives has a unique and special impact on us, regardless of if we have other friends. You loved this friend. You loved the friendship that you had with this person, the things that you had in common, the ways that you overlapped, the experiences that you had together that now you're not going to have any more of. That is a uniquely painful thing to mourn. Yeah, I think especially being someone who, when I enter friendships with people, I do see them as being forever friends off rip. I never enter friendships being like, yeah, we're only gonna be friends for 6 months to a year and then we're done. Like, I would never do that. I think whenever I meet a friend, I just assume we'll always be friends. And that doesn't mean that we'll always be like the best of friends, right? We can't, you know, be super involved with every single person in our lives. But, you know, you fall in and out of season with people. I never assume that when I meet someone and become friends with someone that like we're going to have a terrible, horrible ending, or that there's going to be some end date to loving this person and thinking highly of them and the memories and moments that we shared together. To me, in my heart and the way that I approach my own life and my own love, is that, you know, there's sort of always room for friends. There's always room for more friends. And that once someone is a friend of mine, they're sort of always a friend of mine. Now, obviously, this is not true in practice. There are people that I have lost along the way, people that I have ended things with, people that have ended things with me. And I think something I've learned through those endings is that they ultimately start to make sense. In the moment, it just sucks. And you're like, damn, I wish that could be different, whether you're the person initiating the ending or not. And I think most of the time, once you let a little bit of time pass, once you let things simmer, you'll feel more confident in your decision, or you will feel clarity on why that needed to happen, why that person needed to be removed from your life, why you needed to be redirected on a different path, why this spot was left open in your life for someone new and perhaps better suited to you in a long-term friendship kind of way, can come in. When I look back at the friendships of mine that I have ended, I do feel good about all of those endings. They're not things that I would change now. They're not things that I regret, even though they were hard in the moment. That also doesn't mean that I harbor any resentment or judgment towards these people for, you know, it was a long, long time ago, the ones that I'm thinking of. And yeah, they're people that if I saw them on the street, if we happened to be at the same restaurant, at the same bar, I would happily say hi to them, do a little brief catch up. But like, we don't need to be friends again. And we can just leave it at that. And I think they would feel the same way about me. Like, I think you reach a point where you're like, I don't have an issue with this person. What's done is done. Water under the bridge. We both figured out what we needed for ourselves. And, you know, we were not compatible as friends. And we learned that eventually. We got to that conclusion eventually. And, you know, though it sometimes is a painful path to get there, we did. And we don't need to reopen that door. But also, I feel no ill will towards this person. And honestly, I look back on many of our memories with fondness. And I prefer to focus on the good parts of those friendships, the high moments that you had together, rather than focusing on, you know, the things that weren't so great or the moments that issued in the ending of your friendship. I know it sucks to be like, well, time is the best healer, but it is true. Like, when you're dealing with a breakup of any kind, like, there's nothing that I can say to alleviate that pain from you. What you're feeling right now, the pain that you're feeling right now, is so real. And part of the healing process is, unfortunately, just sitting in that feeling, processing your hurt, processing, you know, any betrayal or resentment and anger that you might feel. All are completely normal. And I do feel that, like, eventually, over time, it becomes more obvious why this friendship didn't work out. You know, what went wrong here? Why weren't you guys compatible? And also, I think there are times where a friendship ends and time will pass and, you know, a future version of yourself will look back on it and be like, why the fuck are we not friends? Like, that was such a silly fight. That was such a misunderstanding. That was, you know, I took things too far. I didn't react well to that. And we have the opportunity to open up and apologize and reconnect with those people later on. I'm not saying that you'll always look back at your friendship lost and be like, you know what? And I'm totally cool with that. Sometimes you will lose friends and you will think about it all the time and be like, and I hate that we're not friends. And that makes me so upset. And I miss them so much. And that's also fucking real. And I've been there too. I mean, really, everything that you can say about friendship breakups and the process of healing from that and processing that, it's all that can be said for romantic relationships can really also be said for friendships. Sometimes you break up and it sucks in the moment, and then time passes and you're like, and it all makes sense why we were not compatible, why this needed to happen, why we needed to break up, go on our own journeys 100%. And there are other times where the breakup happens and time passes and you're like, and I still hate that. And that feels silly to me. And I wish that we were still able to be in each other's lives in some way. And that's a fine reaction as well. And I think it's just important to give yourself the space to fully process how it is you feel about the specifics of why this relationship ended. And I mean, give yourself serious time and space. It's a heavy heartbreak losing a friend. I just hope that you're able to, you know, find peace in how things are shaking out here, and remember that your hurt in the face of a friendship breakup is completely real and very much as important to be supported through as a romantic breakup. I'd say this next one can be a little bit connected to the last one. This submitter says, hi, Maddie. I wanted to know your opinion and maybe if you've experienced something like this before. I've been feeling frustration lately because of my really close friend. She told me recently that she envies me, and not lightly. For context, I'm 22 and she is 21. We are currently studying in the same university on the same program in one group. Recently, we moved in together and we were really excited about it because we knew that this is a big step forward in our friendship. And everything was fine until one evening she stormed out of our kitchen to the bedroom saying she is not feeling well emotionally. And I was very concerned for her and was trying to comfort her, but she said to leave her alone. So I waited until she would feel better. She cried for an hour, and then I asked if she can tell me what's wrong and how can I help, but her answer left me speechless. She said that since we moved in together, she's really started to envy me in every kind of way. The way I dress, how I put so much time into studying and learning, how I'm so organized and put together, my appearance, even my daily routine. Basically, you're everything that I'm not, and I want to be just like you. That's a quote from her. And that day, I had an important presentation for my project where I put a lot of hard work and time in. And luckily, my curator and professor praised me for my dedication and even said that I can participate in a big contest with my project. I was so happy that I did so well with my work and shared it with her. And then this happened. She said that for her, it was the last straw, and she always felt a little bit of envy because of me. But now that we live together, she sees me every day and can see everything I do, and that just triggered every insecurity that she had. She said that she cannot be fully happy for my achievements or when something good happens in my life because of that envy, even though she really wants to be happy for me. And deep down, this was really eating her inside. And she couldn't tell me about this because she knew how bad it sounded. Don't get me wrong, my friend is a literal angel and sunshine. She is kind and thoughtful, but she has a problem with self-esteem and can't find anything good about herself. I tried to help her, but I fear that only she and possibly therapy can help with this. After she told me about her feelings, I ensured that it's okay and that we can work through this and I'm not angry at her or upset. And partially, I can understand her. She felt better and we kind of moved on, but I can't help myself but to keep coming back to this conversation. How would you feel if you were in my place? Have you had this experience or friend, and what do you think the best way to fix this issue is? I love her so much, but now that I know about her problem, I feel uncomfortable sharing my good news or moments to her, and I think about everything I do or say in front of her. I don't know how to react to this, and more importantly, how can I be myself with her if I know about her insecurities? I really want to know your opinion, and thank you for everything that you do on your channel. I wanted to answer this question because I had a very similar experience to this at one point in my life, and it was something that eventually issued in the ending of my friendship with this person. There were other things that contributed to why the friendship eventually ended, for sure, but I do think a major reason why the friendship eventually ran its course was because of a moment quite similar to the one that you have written out here. I shared some exciting news with a friend of mine, and they had basically blown up at me. This was the final straw for them. And they said, and I quote, "I hate seeing you happy. It makes me angry." And, you know, they went on a rant similar to the one that you've written about here, explaining their emotions, talking about how they know that it's wrong and it's bad, but this is how they feel. And I sat quietly and just listened to the whole thing. And I tried for a very long time after that conversation to have a normal friendship with this person again. But to be honest with you, something in me shifted after hearing those words. It was like once they were said, they couldn't be taken back. Hearing a friend say to me verbatim, "Seeing you happy makes me angry," was not something that I knew how to sit with or process in any way. And I tried for a very long time to be understanding and to be like, you know, my friend is just going through it. They're, you know, going through a really hard time and I just want to be there for them. But I noticed how it chipped away at me as time went on. And I realized that I couldn't share any of my happy moments with this person. I couldn't engage in like half of what it means to be friends with someone with this person. Our friendship slowly evolved into, you know, a one-sided relationship where they were allowed to open up to me, to talk to me about the things going on in their life, but I lived constantly on eggshells, worried that if I was too happy or too excited, that it would cause a fight. And I was not like emotionally keen on that. You know, I was trying to avoid fights as much as possible, and you know, that's my own issue. But I think eventually it just became more clear to me that this person only wanted to be my friend when we could suffer together. And when I wasn't suffering, when something good was happening to me, it felt like they took every opportunity they could to bring me down, to take a little bit of that joy away from me, and to center it back on themselves and how much they were struggling, which was a very real thing that I felt very bad about and consumed by. And I wanted to be a friend to them and to help them. But at the same time, it reached a point where I couldn't show up for them because of how unfair it was to me. I think eventually I started to feel some resentment because I felt like I could understand grappling with envy or jealousy and how difficult that might be. But what I couldn't understand was making that my problem to fix, or, you know, making it so that I had to be the one to bear that. And I had to be the one to, you know, second guess when I share something happy that happens in my life. I think when you reach a point where you feel like you cannot tell your friends when good things happen to you, like we are so close to just not being friends, if that is true. And in hindsight, looking at that conversation and looking at the conversations that followed about this topic, I often just felt like I was the wrong audience and that I shouldn't have been subjected to those conversations, that they needed to confide in a different friend about this rather than coming directly to me with it, because it corroded our friendship over time because I couldn't be myself around them anymore. And if you can't be yourself around someone and you can't share your happy moments and you're worried about sharing your joy with people, a friendship can't last in those conditions. And though I had empathy for my friend and what they were experiencing, I'm also like a real human being with feelings. And being friends with someone who hates seeing me win was just not something that I could stomach past a certain point. And I really do think that, like, again, there's nothing wrong with experiencing jealousy or envy. I think that these are normal things that sometimes do come up. However, I think the way that you process those things is delicate. And we can't just project those things onto the people we're feeling them towards and then expect them to carry it for us. To have an outburst where someone yells at you for experiencing happiness and joy and, you know, celebrating an accomplishment, I don't know. This is probably not the response you were hoping for, but from my experience, it was something that I couldn't come back from. And I really wished that I could. When I tell you, I sincerely tried to come back from this because I did understand. But I was also protective of myself, and I felt very much like you should have talked to someone else about this. You should have confided in someone else. You should have vented to someone else. You should have talked to a therapist about this. You should have invested in other relationships and gone to them for support for this before blowing up at me. Because I do wonder if my friend had been able to present this to me in a different way, if I could have been more receptive to it. But the sentence, "seeing you happy makes me angry," was truly one that once it was said, it couldn't be taken back. And it was particularly hurtful to me as someone who is such a big cheerleader for my friends, who really prides themselves on being a good friend, and that, like, that is such a core value of mine as a person. So it sucks to be like, I love seeing my friends win. I want all the good things to happen to all of my friends. Like, when I see my friends win, I feel like I won. And then to have a friend of mine be like, I fucking hate seeing you happy, I was like, well, damn, because I don't feel that way about you. And I feel like I deserve to be friends with people who are happy for me and who feel like my wins are also their wins. And I get that sometimes life gets in the way, but I shouldn't have been subjected to all of that. You know, like what you say to people matters. The words that you use matter. And you can feel like you're just being honest and putting all of what you feel on the table. But if what you're saying is fucking mean, you can't be shocked when like those words can't be taken back. You know? And they couldn't. And that sucked. It did. And again, it wasn't the only reason why that friendship ended, but that was a large part of it for me, was like how this moment really issued in the ending of the friendship, the collapse of the friendship, because I could not get over what they said to me. I couldn't trust them again. I couldn't open up to them as a friend. I couldn't share in my best moments with them. So naturally, I became closer with other people who could celebrate me, who could celebrate with me, who did genuinely feel happy for me and want the best for me. It's hard to feel like one of your best friends is rooting against you, you know, that's like hoping for your downfall, that's preying on it. You can't sustain that. You can't hold up that friendship. And really, you shouldn't be around people that are preying on your downfall like that. And I think it's fine to have empathy for those people and to acknowledge that it comes from like a very, you know, like vulnerable and hurt space within themselves. It's okay to have understanding for people and to also draw that line and be like, and you're not going to speak to me like that or treat me like that. So I have to walk away from this friendship. That is eventually the conclusion that I came to after like another year of being friends with this person. It took me a while to get there, to be honest. But eventually I was like, I can't, for the sake of myself, remain friends with someone who has made me feel this way. And that doesn't mean that I hate them, and it doesn't mean that I think so poorly of them that I have no ability to understand. I so deeply understand that they were in a hard place when this was said to me. And I have so much empathy and understanding for that. And also, my empathy and understanding for them does not take away from my like self-respect and self-protection and my knowing that I deserve a support system that truly and utterly supports me and wants to see me win. And I just don't have room in my life for people that are preying on my fucking downfall. And that's the truth of it. And I hope you get better. But I just can't be there to witness it now. And that was that. Now again, my situation and your situation are different. I can't tell you how to feel about your situation or what the best way to work through it is. But that's how I felt when it happened to me. So take what resonates, leave what doesn't. Overall, I just want to say that I am so sorry that that person said that to you, because it is not how friends should treat each other. And I do not think that friends should ever make someone else feel bad for being happy. I don't think that people who only want to be close to you when you can suffer together are your real friends. And I think the energy that you surround yourself with matters. The people you surround yourself with matters. And I fear what being around people like that does to your self-esteem over time, because I saw what it did to me over time. Hi, Maddie. I love your content and the way you consistently uphold values that I believe we share. I recently had a falling out with my best friend of 6 years. So many falling outs happening right now. We're in a transitionary phase, mama. I've been saying this. She's been the person who often seems to read my mind, the one I could call about nearly anything. She knows my entire family, has spent Thanksgiving with us, and is even close to my older sister. We connect deeply through our sense of humor and creative vision, and we've always been each other's biggest supporters. Last week, though, I discovered she followed back a situationship of mine 2 weeks after she first showed me that he'd followed her. Us three have only hung out once for max 2 hours, and this was around a year ago. She saw how uncomfortable that made me at the time and even commented, "That's weird. This isn't the first time we've clashed over situations like this. In the past, we've had several fallouts, each one related to her seeking validation from men in ways that felt like a betrayal. Here are some examples. Number one, she hooked up with the ex-boyfriend of a girl in our friend group. Although they weren't super close, our friend group was super tight-knit and often hung out together. Later, she also hooked up with another guy who everyone knew this same girl liked, right when they were just starting to vibe. I was also close friends with this other girl. Two, she hooked up with a guy she knew that I liked, brushed it off, then not realizing how much it truly bothered me. Three, one night while she was blacked out, she was all over a guy I was dating at the time. Four, behind my back, she went on a date with one of my coworkers, a coworker that I told her I had a lot of chemistry with. I only found out a year later when he told me they went on a date and then later that night brought him back home to hook up, but he backed off because he thought it was strange. She did this a week after I moved out of our shared apartment. She initially lied about it, but eventually admitted the truth. Given all of this, I'm wondering if it's finally time to put my foot down and walk away from this friendship. I don't know if I can trust her behavior around men, especially those in my life. What do you think, Maddie? Is this worth ending what has been the closest and most fun friendship I've had so far? Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that at all. If you want my opinion, what I would do if I were you is I would wipe my hands clean of this relationship and walk away. I don't think that if you're going to call someone your best friend, you're going to lock in for someone, be besties, be on that level. You want to make sure that person is totally fucking trustworthy and actually gives a shit about you. Also, it's just like, I don't feel like people like this are ever good friends. People who prioritize men over their besties, don't bother with them. Do not bother with them. They do not know how to be a good friend if it hit them in the fucking face. It is so easy to not fuck your best friend's crush. Like, I can't emphasize enough how fucking easy that is. Some of you are weird for not being able to do that, I'll be honest. And I just think that those people are weird and bad friends. And I don't think that they are worth your time at all. And I think what is most damning here is that it's been established as a pattern. I think that if it was a one-time thing, we could, you know, hash it out, we could get through it, and we could get out on the other side learning something and just be better in the future. I can, you know, hold space for that. This isn't a one-time thing, though. This is strike five. So, you know, I think you've been really generous up until this point, giving this friend an opportunity to stop acting like a fuck-ass freak. And they haven't taken it. So that's their own fault. And you know what's so funny is I think these are the same people that are always so confused that they can't maintain friendships with women. And they're like, it's so hard to be friends with girls. Girls are just the worst to be friends with. And it's like, all right, whatever you say. Because, like, if they're about to lose you, someone who has had their back and has been a good friend to them, it will be entirely their fault. All because they cared more about what some fucking loser dude thinks going on one date, having momentary attention from this random guy over building a long-lasting friendship with you. And that's a choice that they're making. And I wish that we could make them make a different choice. Because it is so clearly not in their best interest to prioritize random fucking men over a friendship that could have been in it with them for the long, long haul. But I just think people like this are bad news. And I don't think that they are bestie material. And I think until they get over the need to constantly please men and center men and, you know, pursue men at the cost of any woman in their close proximity, until they get over that, they're going to have a hard time keeping friendships with other women. And that's that. Like, I don't want to be friends with women who center men to this degree. I just don't. We have nothing in common. But God, that fucking sucks. That sucks because it's like, why would you do that? But that's bizarre. And I just don't think that friends should lie to you like that. I think it's weird. Especially in pursuit of men. Like this random dude. I told you I had a crush on my coworker and you fucking went behind my back and went on a date with him. That is weird. No. It's well over the line and you've given them many chances. And this is strike five. So famously, they should have been out two strikes ago. So that's what I would say. It sucks though. And that's not easy at all. And honestly, like what a fucking travesty. Because some people can do better and they just actively choose not to. And it's like, why? Why? Why can't we just not behave like that? That would be awesome. That'd be fucking sick if you could not do that.
Thank you so much.
But I think what I want to end this episode with in general, because this has kind of turned into the friend breakup episode, is just to say that the process of finding your people is a process that can be quite hard, but ultimately is rewarding in the end when you stick to it. We all want community. We want friendship. We want to be in close proximity to people that we can trust and rely on, that will support us, that will wrap us up and, you know, make us feel loved in moments of need, in moments of celebration. We all want besties. Everybody wants besties. And I think that it is better to let things go that are not working, that are not good, that are not serving you, to make room for more aligned relationships to come in. There's only so many hours in the day, only so many hours in the week. We only have space for so many close, intimate friendships, realistically, right? Because I think there's always room for new friends, but there's levels to it. You're only going to be super close with a select amount of people just by, you know, by way of time, the amount of hours there are in a day. We don't have the time to be best friends with every single person. So the people that you are giving that much of yourself to, that you are putting that much time into, the friendships that you are, you know, spending the most time watering and nurturing and all of that, the people that you are putting that much time into should really be people that you can trust with your whole heart and soul. You know, people that you could pick up the phone and call at 4 a.m. and they'd be there for you. People who, you know, want to see you win, that give a shit about you and your family and the things going on in your life that have nothing to do with them. The people that just genuinely love you for who you are and that want to weather the storms of life with you. We need to be reserving our highest positions in life to people that really, truly deserve us and get us and that respect us the way that we will assumably respect them. Here in, you know, Lover Girls Worldwide, we're all famously very keen on loving people. So, you know, I think that it's more than reasonable to expect the same thing that you give in relationships back in return. And sometimes there needs to be some endings that happen in order to open up some space for new beginnings. Now, does that make the endings easier? No, absolutely not. But I hope that maybe it is some comfort to you to know that like new beginnings happen all the time. I mean, Meg was on the show last week. I fucking love Meg. Like, I swear to God, every person that I have introduced Meg to, and I've been like, you guys got to meet my friend Meg. I fucking love her. You'll love her. I've introduced Meg to a few of my other friends and every single one of them is like, I fucking love Meg. And I'm like, dude, I know. She's the best. A little over a year ago, I didn't know Meg. We weren't in each other's lives. There's no way I could have known that, you know, just around the corner was someone so important to me that I think is, you know, so spectacular in every single way. Shout out to Meg. I think that you just have to remember that, you know, for every friendship that is falling to the wayside right now, for every friendship breakup that is happening, for everything that's not working out in this present moment, like, listen, your Meg is right around the corner. New friends are constantly coming in and, you know, you're bound to meet someone that you really connect with and that you feel really proud to be friends with. So hold out for those people. hold out for the people that make you feel seen and heard and listened to, that you feel totally and truly aligned with. And, you know, it's good to give people grace and understanding, but there are lines to these things. And it's good to know where your lines are and respect them when they're crossed. Does it make it easier? No. But we push through. So thank you guys so much for hanging out, for listening. Hug your people for me. Smooch your animals for me. I love you guys so much. Hang in there. Take care of yourself. And I will see you in next week's episode.